My beloved, the Word of God cleanses us even when we do not understand it. Some people will say, the reason why I don't read the Holy Bible because when I read it, I understand nothing. Absolutely nothing. Well, the Word is capable more than enough to cleanse you even if you don't understand it. Look at the Lord Jesus, what he says to the disciples in John 15:3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Just by speaking the word to you, the word has already cleansed you. You don't need to understand to be clean. Just hear the word, read the word, embrace the word. The word of God, it is like the precious oil upon the head. See, the word comes down upon the head and gives a change of mind. It gives a change of mind. The first thing the Holy Spirit will take charge of is your mind. That's the first thing he will do. I don't have the time. It's a very deep topic. It's just we need to understand, you know, when we read the Holy Bible, one word could take us few lessons, few sessions, just one word. So imagine explaining the book of Genesis, for example, which is 50 chapters. If I were to explain or have a commentary on the book of Genesis, which is 50 chapters, once a week, at least an hour and a half each session, it will take me not less than 9 years to have a brief commentary on it. 9 years. Well, when are we going to finish the entire Holy Bible? I don't think so. All right, so this is how deep the Holy Bible is, then how much more God. The Holy Bible is not the last word God ever spoke, but it is the perfect and complete word God ever spoke. Now, the first thing the Holy Spirit will take charge of is your mind. Now, what is the second thing? Verse 2 continues and says, running down on the bead, not this one, well, I pray so. Running down on the bead of Aaron. Now, who was Aaron? Aaron was the brother of Moses. Moses, Aaron, and their sister Miriam. Mary. So, Aaron was the brother of Moses, where the Lord God came to Moses and he said, I want you to choose your brother Aaron and his sons, and I want you to anoint them to be priests for my tabernacle, for my holy altar. So Aaron became the high priest and his sons became priests. So in here it says, running down on the bead of Aaron. Now the beard here symbolizes dignity. You see, the man's dignity is the bead, but the woman's dignity is her hair. Dignity, honor, respect, that all in the same circle. So the dignity of the man is the bead, but the dignity of the woman is her hair. And this is, we find this, that woman when she came where the Lord was in the house of Simeon, one of the Pharisees, she comes from behind and then she starts washing his feet with her tears and dries them up with her hair. Why did she use her hair? I'm sure she had a dress on, or she could have had a small handkerchief or a small cloth with her. She could have wiped those feet with a piece of cloth, but she chose to use the hair. Why? She literally said to the Lord, all of my dignity, I put it at your feet. Just have mercy on me. So she lowered herself so far and so deep just to get the Lord's attention. When the Lord saw she used her own hair to wipe the feet, he said, woman, your faith is great. Amazing. All of my honor at your feet, Lord. So all of me and my stars and my fame and my dignity, step on it, Lord Jesus. At your feet. Do as you wish. Incredible. So the beard symbolizes dignity. Now, my beloved, when it says that this oil came down upon the beard of Aaron, that is telling us that we all have dignity. Where do we find this? In Zechariah 2:8. Zechariah 2:8 says, "For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye." So whoever touches any one of you touches the apple of God's eye. And who can touch the apple of God's eye? No one. Meaning, when you are under the when you are obedient to God, under his control, under his command, no one can ever touch you. However, the time you leave him and walk away from God, oh no, all hell will break loose. And they'll start stepping on you. But when you are under his control, under his obedience, loyal, faithful to him, he says, whoever touches you touches the apple of God's eye, meaning no one can touch you as long as I am king over your life. Be obedient to me. So now, my beloved, since the Lord Jesus entered our mind and changed our thoughts, the first one who will go against us is the world. The first thing that will happen to somebody embracing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the world will go against you 100%. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. St. Paul is saying to his disciple Timothy, whoever wishes to, who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Will meaning there is no escape from it. The day you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the world will persecute you. They will hate you. Why? Because the world hated the Lord Jesus. And whoever walks in the path of the Lord will be also hated by the world. For there is no disciple greater than his teacher. If they had done this to the Lord, do you think they're not going to do it to me and you? And the Lord Jesus said, this is in John 17, I do not pray that you should take them. He's praying to the Father. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Keep them, meaning protect them, Lord. I'm not asking you, Father, to take my disciples out of the world, but I'm asking you to protect them from Satan, from the evil one. Therefore, beard symbolizes saving from outside, which is for protection, but the head and the heart are from inside, and they are for construction. So the Lord from outside protects, and from inside constructs. God, by his Holy Spirit, from inside he builds us up, and from outside he protects us. Where do we find this? In Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, he builds it from out. He builds the house, the laborers, they build it in vain. But unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Watching the city is external. Building the city is internal. From outside, he protects. From inside, he builds you up. This is God when you let him come inside of your head and inside of your heart. This is what verse 2 means. It is like the precious oil upon the head, building us up from inside, running down on the bead of Aaron, protecting us from outside. Yes? Have no fear, for I have overcome the world, the Lord says. I have overcome the world. And if you have me as your Lord and Savior, fear not. Fear not. Verse 2 continues. Not only comes down on the bead of Aaron, but then it goes running down on the edge of his garments. Running down on the edge of his garments. Edge of his garments symbolizes behavior. Behavior. In the book of Numbers 15:38, God said, "Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners." Where? The corners of the garments, put a blue thread. The color blue represents sky, heaven. So when the oil, precious oil, goes down all the way to the edge of Aaron's garments, meaning the Holy Spirit, when he comes, enters you with the word of God being Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and that word comes into your mind, and then through that word your mind now is changed, and you've got the mind of Christ. When you've got the mind of Christ, then the word will go down to the heart and dwells in it. And then when the word dwells in the heart begins to love Christ, no one else, nothing else. Before I loved the world, before I loved partying, I loved going clubbing, I loved doing this and that, I did everything wrong under the sun. But the moment the word of God entered the mind is of Christ's now. It is enlightened. I don't think like before. I don't talk like before. I don't walk like before. I don't live like before. And I don't behave like before. What I used to love before, I despise now. And what I used to think of, I hate thinking of anymore. So now I've got the mind of Christ, and the heart has fallen in love with Christ. So when the mind belongs to Christ and the heart is in love with Christ, definitely your behavior will change. You're no longer that person, that old person no longer. I'm no longer that old person. No longer, my beloved. In Matthew 9:21, we see this narrative of this woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. She spent all of her money, tried every physician, every doctor on the face of the earth at her time. She spent all the money, yet without any prevail, nobody could heal her. What did she say in Matthew 9:21, this woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years? "For she said to herself," meaning she was talking to herself from inside, quietly, silently. "For she said to herself, 'If only I may touch his garment, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well.'" She came from behind the Lord, quietly, silently, under the radar. She touches the garment of the Lord from behind. The Lord stops, but there was a multitude who were, you know, giving him a hard time, touching him and crushing him. And the Lord stops and he says to the disciples, "Somebody touched me." Simon Peter, as usual, the first to go and speak, he said, "Lord, there's thousands touching you." He said, "No, someone touched me because power came out of me." And when you read it in the original, in the Greek text, power is to do with electricity. I have electrocuted somebody. When do we get electrocuted? When we grab a naked cord. You know, they dress that cord with plastic. Why? So that when you hold that cord, it's got that protection on it. so you don't get electrocuted. But when you remove the protection, the cord becomes naked. You hold it. What is that? 240 volts? I think it'll be quiet, shaken in your spot. You're electrocuted. You're naked. Why did this woman get power out of Christ? Because looks like out of the thousands who were touching him, she was the only one who came naked. Meaning, she was the only one who was genuine with her confession. All of them came saying, Lord, Lord, but nobody confessed their sins except this woman. Nobody came wholeheartedly except this woman. Nobody came genuinely admitting that they are sinners except this woman. That's why she got electrocuted by the Lord Jesus. He said, power came out of me. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that healed the woman on the spot. And that flow of blood ceased immediately. I would like to mention something here, my beloved. Aaron the high priest had four sons who were all anointed to be priests. And one day we're going to talk about priesthood to see if it's biblical or not. So anyway, so he had four sons and they were all priests. Back in those good old days, and in the temple which King Solomon built, what they used to do, the menorah, I don't know, have you seen, it's kind of a stand and it's got like one main branch and then three branches from this side and three branches coming out from this side. It's a seven branch sort of candle holder, but it is called the menorah. In our language, Aramaic, mnartha. Mnartha derives from the word to do with light. To do with light. So the menorah. So it's a seven branch menorah. So that menorah used to be lit up from the light of God. And then the priest would take this menorah and light up the golden altar which was in the holies, where you guys are sitting, and also light up the altar which was made out of bronze in the outer court, outside the temple, in the courtyard. So there was two altars. The one inside in the holies was golden, and the one outside was bronze. So that menorah that was lit up from the light of God, then the priest would take it and light up the golden altar and the bronze altar where animal sacrifices were offered on the bronze altar outside. When they came to clean this menorah, then they would put off the light, clean it all, and then light it up from the altar. And when they would come to clean the altar, they would put off the light, clean the entire altar, and then light the altar from the menorah. Meaning, there was no foreign fire ever brought into the temple. The fire initiated by God, and it went to the menorah. Menorah lit the altar, and when the menorah was being cleaned, and afterwards they would put the fire off, and then they would light it up from the altar. And when the altar would be cleaned, they would put the light of the altar, and then afterwards they would light the altar from the menorah. So the light circulating within the circle of God. No foreign light ever was used in the temple.